Psalm chapter 107, if you would. Once you find Psalm 107 there, if you could please stand out of reverence and reading of God's holy word, amen. I'll read just a couple of verses here in Psalms chapter 107. And then I'll say a couple more things. And if God gives me the authority, if God doesn't give me the authority, I can't preach, amen. But if God gives me the authority, I'll try and preach. Psalm chapter 107, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Verse 6, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Verse number 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day, dear God. We do thank you for the sober, grave opportunity that we have to stand behind your sacred desk this evening, Lord, and bow before your mighty throne this evening. Heavenly Father, we ask that our hearts would be humbled before you. Heavenly Father, we ask that our minds would be open and receptive. Lord, we ask that we would be changed forever for having been in your house tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask, dear God, that you'd fill this message with your power, dear God, that you'd put unction from on high upon this message, Lord, that you bridle my thoughts and my tongue, dear God, that I'd only speak what you'd have to be spoken. Oh, Heavenly Father, I beg you to meet with us tonight. God, we don't want to go through the motions of a church service. God, we want to meet with you tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we beg you for your presence tonight. Heavenly Father, we just ask, dear Lord, that you would give me the words to say. God, I'm not smart enough to teach these folks anything. God, they came to hear from you today and not from me. Oh, God, please be with us in Christ's precious name. Amen. Please be seated if you would. You know, when I first surrendered to preach, 2005, I was so glad that the pulpit had a, whatever they call this part. Because as I'm standing back here, my knees are shaking so bad, I knew somebody would be able to see it. Amen. Because I was always afraid of who was out there. I was always afraid of the seasoned men of God, the seasoned preachers. I was always afraid of the seasoned saints that I was preaching to. But you know, here now, almost 14 years later, I'm still nervous every time I stand in the pulpit, and my knees still shake, but it's no longer because of you. It's because of him. Amen? I don't want to say anything tonight that goes against what God has for us. Amen. I just want to apologize real quick for my apparel. Sorry I don't have a coat tonight. Until 2 o'clock Texas time, 1 o'clock New Mexico time, I didn't know I was going to make it here. It didn't look like it was God's plan. And then all of a sudden he opened up the doors, and I knew it was his plan, and it happened in a matter of moments. And I'm a store merchandiser. I go into stores and do things for them. And I was already in Childress, Texas, so I was already 2 hours on this side of where I live. Amen. And so I didn't want to drive all the way back 2 hours. I didn't have the money. I didn't have the time. And I didn't have the desire to drive back 2 hours and then turn around and drive here 7 hours. When I could only drive this way 5 hours, amen. So I didn't have my Bible. I didn't have my stuff. That's why I stand before you the way I do today. It's not how we do things in our church. That's all right. But I apologize. That's the way it is. You know, we can either praise God, or we can bicker with God. Yeah, that's good. Amen? Get a hold of that. We can either praise God, or we can argue, bicker, fight with God. We can either come in here with a desire to change, or we can come in here with a mindset that I'm going to leave the same way as I got here. We can come in here with a desire to hear from God, or we can close ourselves off and close our ears off. It's our choice.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Amen? Doesn't affect our salvation, but it certainly affects our relationship with the Lord. So the question is, why do we come to church? Do we come to meet with God? Or do we come because it's the right thing to do? Do we come to get an attendance star? Or do we come because we want to be more useful for Him when we leave?
Amen.
Why do we come? What's our motivation? I found out a long time ago as a basketball coach that if you don't motivate those kids aren't going to do anything for you. There's a lot of that in the ministry too. If those folks aren't motivated in the right way with the right heart to minister, they're not going to. So why do we come? If I might have liberty to ask you to ponder on that thought for just a few minutes. Psalms chapter 107 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and Brother Orlando stole my notes because he got all over it. Psalms chapter 107 and verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks." Let me tell you, Christian, when we get in those moments of down and we get in those moments of depression and we get in those moments of negativity and we get in those moments of criticalness and we get in those moments of, oh no, it's Sunday already, we're not being very thankful.
Yeah.
Amen? You cannot be thankful and be critical at the same time.
That's good.
Did you get that? You cannot be thankful to God. You cannot be praising God. You cannot be honoring God. You cannot be blessed of God and be negative at the same time. They're opposite forces. Are you with me? I'll sit down. There's preachers way better than me. I'll sit down. Are you with me?
Amen.
The Bible there says, "Oh, give thanks." See, to most of us, boy, we come in here on Sunday and we have a great day and man, we're already looking forward to Wednesday and Sunday's not even done yet. Amen? But there are some days, boy, we just don't want to get up and we just don't want to do it. Man, is there any excuse in my index of excuses in my mind that I can use? Amen? I know y'all are so young, you don't know what an index file folder is. Look it up on the internet, amen? Google knows everything. But our brain, our mind is like a brain. Our brain is like a computer, right? It stores all this information. And so we go through this thought process. Is there something I can do? Because let me tell you, it's never going to be the perfect time to serve God. It's always going to be too hot.
Yeah.
It's always going to be too cold. It's always going to be too rainy. It's always going to be too dusty. It's always going to be, man, we're doing something every night of the week. It's always going to be, that's the wrong side of town. There's always going to be something that can stop you.
That's right.
What's your motivation?
Amen.
Because if your motivation is to serve God, you won't listen to the devil and his excuses.
Amen.
You'll come anyway.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. You'll come anyway. What's your motivation? He says there, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And verse number 34, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever." Psalms chapter 92. I use a lot of scripture because scripture backs up scripture, backs up scripture. Amen? And you can argue with me and you can call me a liar, but you can't argue with the Word of God. Psalm chapter 92 and verse number 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Here, tonight, whatever the date is, you're showing your faithfulness. Amen? Are you going to be just as faithful tomorrow? What's your motivation? See, a good meeting goes on after the dates are over.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
So this meeting is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, from what I understand. Is that correct? A good meeting goes on to Thursday. Amen?
Yeah.
A good meeting goes on to Friday. A good meeting goes on to Saturday. And a good meeting goes on to the next week. Amen?
Yeah.
What's your motivation? What's your motivation? So we see here in Psalms chapter 107, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Is he not good?
Mm-hmm.
Has he not taken care of you? Brother Orlando gave many examples. Did he not take care of us? Did he not give us travel mercies to get here? Did he not give us health to get here? Did he not bless us while we were here? Is he not still blessing us while we're sitting here? Did he not allow us to have good music, sing good music, be part of good music, amen, hear good preaching, eat good food, have sweet spirit, be a part of a sweet spirit, sweet fellowship? Did he not allow us to be part of a great thing? Is God not good? Amen? Our motivation should be that God is good. Our motivation should be that God is worth it. Our motivation should be that He died for us. And if nothing else, we can at least say thanks, God. You know, the boys, they ask me for stuff. I know you kids don't ask your parents for stuff, but mine do. Even when I say no, they still ask, right? So then when they finally get something, what do I ask for them in return? Thanks, right? I ask them, what do you say? Thank you, right? So if we ask that out of our kids, if we ask that out of our grandkids, if we ask that out of people in the community, why in the world should we not thank God?
Yeah.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And then he says, for his mercy endureth forever. See, that verse could stop right there at the word mercy, and that'd be all right. But it doesn't. But we'll get there in a second. He says, for his mercy. We serve the God of second chances.
Amen.
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 Sometimes third chances and fourth chances. And depends if you're thick-headed like me. Amen. But we serve the God of another chance. Our church plan in Vernon is called Second Chances Baptist Church. We serve the God of second chances.
Amen.
We need to be reminded about how merciful our God is. Because sometimes we want to lay down the law. And God doesn't lay down the law with us always. He's merciful. Amen? He's gracious. And we ought to treat each other with mercy and grace and love. Because we walk around saying this word Christian, right? And calling each other a Christian, which is Christ-like. Amen? Is that not what Christian means? And so if Christ-like is what Christian means, then we ought to act Christ-like. Amen?
Amen.
And so if God is merciful and God is gracious and God is loving and God is kind, now he's also just and righteous. I understand there's a time for the law. But we're talking here about the fact that his mercy endureth forever. And we ought to treat people with that mercy and that graciousness, and that kindness too. Remember, we're not under the Old Testament law anymore. We're under New Testament grace. So we ought to treat each other that way, don't you think? Amen. His mercy endureth forever. My grandma was a tough lady. Amen? My grandma and grandpa, they reared me. I'll get to that in a minute. My dad was doing one thing. My mom was doing a different thing. So my grandpa and grandma reared me. And my grandma, man, she was mean, boy. Amen? I'm telling you, she was mean. When I say she's mean, I'm serious. And you know, just by a side note, how many people are sitting in the same seat you always sit in? See, we're creatures of habit. We always go to the same doctor, same grocery store, same gas stations. We probably even take the same route to church. We're creatures of habit. Amen? So my grandma was no different. So she had her little spot there on the couch. Amen? And she had her lamp, and she had her book, and she had her ashtray. I'm not preaching on that tonight, but I'll get there later. And you better not touch any of those things. Amen? Because those are grandmas. So my grandpa and grandma, they were home until we got off the bus and everything and got settled in and had supper, and then they went out and they had these night jobs. So I, being the oldest, it was myself and my sister and my aunt, who my grandparents had later in life, who was my sister's age, which is 4 years younger than me. And so it was the three of us. So I thought, because I was the oldest, I could sit in grandma's seat. Amen? So I sat down there and I turned on grandma's lamp. And grandma's lamp went, psh. And I went, uh-oh. And I about froze, just like I am right now. I can still feel it. It puts us up my spine. Amen. And so I went and I glued that thing back together the best I could. And I set that thing up and I walked away, man. Because I didn't even want the air to knock that thing over. Amen. And a day or two or three later, I don't remember exactly, but not long later, grandma went and she pulled that lamp and it went, poof, and I went, "What'd you do?" And old grandma didn't say nothing. And boy, I went to bed and I thought, man, I got away with one. Amen. And a day went by. And 2 days went by. And 3 days went by. And man, that thing was eating me alive, man. Amen? Man, I knew what I did was wrong. But I thought I got by with one. Because I didn't want to get in trouble. That's what I did it for. I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want the law. Amen? Grandma was all about the law. And so finally, after a little while, I went to grandma. Man, I just couldn't deal with that anymore. I couldn't deal with the conviction that I was facing anymore. The world uses words like guilt and all shame and all that. It's conviction, Holy Spirit conviction, amen, to the Christian. But man, I went up to grandma and I said, "Grandma, I got to tell you, I'm the one that broke that lamp." And she said, "Toad." That's what she called me, Toad. Please don't, though. And she said, "Toad," she said, "I know you did. I was just waiting for you to come and tell me." And I said, "Grandma, I didn't tell you because I'm scared of you." And she looked with that cigarette still in her mouth on the corner, and she could smile with that and not drop an ash. But anyway, she's looking at me, and she's saying, "I know." I said, "Grandma, what's my punishment?" She said, "I think the last couple of days that you've thought about it and can been convicted by it and it's been eating you up inside, I think that's been your punishment. But don't let you do that again." She was gracious. Amen? She was merciful. She gave me mercy that day. Amen? Be careful how we treat each other. Treat each other with grace and mercy, as Christ treats you. Amen? He doesn't stomp you like the cockroach you are every time you mess up. Amen? If you're like me, he could certainly render some law to you a lot. But he's gracious with you. Why? Because he loves you. And he knows that you're growing. Amen? And we're all growing. This is the one thing that we forget. Is all of a sudden somebody gets saved and we think they're going to go from zero to Johnny Christian overnight. Amen? Forgetting that it took you a little while to get there. Amen? Be gracious with them. They'll get there. It takes a minute. Amen? But if they're growing, they're going in the right direction.
Amen.
Just encourage them and help them. Don't beat on them. The Bible here says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." You know, if you want to follow along, I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 6 for just a minute. Aren't you glad that God's mercy endureth forever? You know, we all know this man, Isaiah. And we now all know what Isaiah became. But Isaiah took a little while to get there, amen? Look at what it says there in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." For what we see is five chapters of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah did basically diddly for the Lord because he couldn't get his eyes off the king. Amen? Instead of putting his eyes on Christ, he had his eyes on man. Christian, if we would get our eyes off people and be more concerned about what God thinks, we get somewhere. Amen?
Amen?
It's important what God thinks, not what man thinks. Amen? But even so, God didn't just take out Isaiah there. He still let him serve. He gave him another chance. Amen? We all know about this guy named Peter, right? Peter said, "God, you know I love you." Jesus Christ said, "Hey, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." He said, "No way, not me." Right? I'm too good of a Christian. That ain't going to happen. And we know it did. And Peter still got to be used of God, didn't he? You ever read the book of Acts? You ever read the book of Acts? Amen? You ever read 1 and 2 Peter? God didn't take him out. God let him grow. Amen? God was merciful to him. You ever hear about this man named David? God himself said, "Here is a man after God's own heart." And we understand the trials and the sin and the things, the decisions that David made. Did God take him out? Did God shelf him? No. He was merciful to him, and he helped him, and he encouraged him. And he used him. You see what I'm saying tonight, folks? Amen? The Bible says there are none righteous, no, not one. Is that not true? The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that not true? We need to stop comparing ourselves, Christian to Christian, and compare ourselves to God. Amen? Because that's who we answer to. We don't answer to our pastor. We don't answer to his pastor. We don't answer to some college. We don't answer to some bigwig that flies all over the place and preaches on the circuit. Amen? We answer to God.
Amen.
And that's who we should be concerned about.
Amen.
What God thinks. Not what man thinks. As we get back to Psalms chapter 1, my introduction is almost done. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And then he says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." See, why we're here, we've heard testimonies. Amen? And we throw around that word testimony. But if you were to be asked by your friends, by your neighbors, by those you talk to, what does that word testimony mean? Would you be able to answer it? Amen? I try to live my life by the word why. Amen. I don't want to listen to what somebody says. I want to listen to what God says, and I want to know why we do that particular thing. Amen. I want to know why. You ever thought why we do testimonies? We do testimonies because of Psalms chapter 107, verse 2. The Bible says, let the redeemed say so. So if you're redeemed today, if you've been bought by the blood of Christ today, you share that salvation testimony. I've got people that say, well, I can't talk to people. All you have to do is share what God did for you.
Amen.
You might not even realize how powerful your salvation testimony is to a dead and dying world.
Yeah.
Especially a teenager.
Right.
Why? Because I can go and talk to one, but I'm just going to be another old guy yelling at me. But if a teenager talks to a teenager, they're going to listen. If a kid talks to a kid, they're going to listen. Amen? If a wife talks to a wife, they're going to listen. If a man talks to a man, maybe. Amen? See, if we can't give a testimony in here,
come on,
amongst those that we love,
come on,
amongst those that we serve with every week, amongst those that pray for us, amongst those that we pray for, how can we ever share our testimony with a world that hates us because you love God?
That's good.
Amen?
Amen?
The Bible says, let the redeemed say so. If you're a Christian today, you ought to tell someone.
Amen.
I've got a pet peeve. I don't know what you think about this. Doesn't really matter anyway because God said I could say it. But I don't know what you think about saying, I'm the Christian barber, I'm the Christian auto mechanic, I'm the Christian da-da-da-da-da. Using God to sell a product is what I think that is. They should already know that by your character. Amen? They ought to already know that by your testimony that you're a Christian before you ever have to tell them.
Amen.
Amen? What's your testimony? You ever notice that? Well, God said I can't say that. All right, the Bible says, let the redeemed say so. You know, that word redeemed is kind of an interesting thing. I don't know if anybody clips coupons around here. My wife does. You know, that coupon is absolutely worthless piece of paper until she takes it to the store and redeems it. Cashes it in for money, right? Uses it on that product. Maybe it's a dollar off a thing of toothpaste or whatever, right? And she takes that coupon in and gives that to that store. That store runs it to the register, and she has redeemed that coupon for that dollar off. Your salvation, your soul was bought by the blood of Christ, and you have been redeemed into His kingdom. Forever. Because you didn't do anything to earn it. See, this is a great thing about not having a good work salvation. Amen? Because you didn't earn it, so you can't lose it. Amen?
Amen.
I work for a funeral home. If I don't do what the funeral home tells me to do, they can cut me loose. Amen? I didn't do anything to get my salvation. I just accepted Christ's free gift.
Amen.
Amen? And I don't know what you think about all that 1, 2, 3, pray after me stuff, but that's garbage.
Amen.
But I accepted God's free gift of salvation, and that's all you did too. You're sealed. The Bible says your soul is sealed until the day of redemption. So one day, there's that word redemption, redeemed again, right? One day you're going to stand before the Almighty God and you're going to cash in your soul and you're going to get to enter heaven. Isn't that good? That's what sealed until the day of redemption means. My granny, she lived on her own until she was 93. Amen. She was old. Man, she was mean too. But anyway, she canned everything. Man, I mean everything. There's stuff in that cellar that I don't even know what it was, but if it fit in a jar, she canned it. Amen. And there's one thing that I learned a long time ago about that is she said, when you grab that jar, you don't worry what's in that jar. You just look at the top of that jar. Amen. And if the top of that jar is popped up, that means that seal is broken. That thing's no good. But if that seal is still down and tight, man, you open that thing up and you eat it. You don't worry about what it is. Amen. Because that jar was sealed until you pop that top and you heard this, right? And you broke that. Your soul is sealed until the day of redemption. Until you redeem it for your mansion. For that place that God is preparing for you in heaven. Amen? Isn't eternal security good?
Yes.
Isn't that a blessing? Isn't God good for offering us eternal security? Amen? See, it would be great if God just saved us. Wouldn't that be just great? But he says, nah. He says, that's not enough. You deserve more than that. He says, while you're on this earth, I'm going to bless you beyond anything you can ask or think. Well, that's pretty cool. He says, nah, I'm not done yet. He says, then when you get to the end of your life, I'm going to give you heaven. Well, that's pretty cool. Nope, there's still a cherry on top of that yet. He says, not only am I going to give you heaven, but I'm going to let you stay there forever. Amen?
Amen.
That's the God you get to serve every day. Mm-hmm. Serving God isn't a drudgery. It's an honor and a privilege.
Amen.
I don't get to get up every morning. I get to get up every morning. Amen? And so do you. You get to serve the creator of the universe. Amen?
Amen?
You get to talk to him anytime you want. You don't have to set up an appointment. You don't have to get out your calendar. Amen? You don't have to go through a bunch of hierarchy. You get to have direct communication with the creator of the universe, and you didn't do anything to deserve it. Because you're a sinner that deserves hell.
Amen.
But because of God and his love and his graciousness and his mercy, he died on the cross and gave you the opportunity to have direct communication with Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Now here's one thing that we misinterpret about the Godhead. We don't get to speak to God. Not God the Father. We don't have that right. Our sin separated us from God the Father. But we get to go to our intercessor, amen? We get to go to our advocate. We get to pray to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ gets to go to God the Father on our behalf. Amen? And that Holy Spirit, that still small voice of the Spirit of God, speaks to us. We get to speak to Jesus. He takes it to God the Father. That's how the Trinity works. Isn't that good? Isn't that good?
Amen.
Everybody should be able to say amen there. That was an easy one. Brother, you better give me your sign, man. I think we're tired. Spoken like a Baptist preacher. How can I get money for this? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'll be done in just a minute. I lived in a small West Wisconsin town by the name of Chautauqua, Wisconsin. 2,000 people. The only thing that kept that little city going was tourist season. The people from Chicago, the people from Minneapolis, St. Paul, people from Florida that had cabins on the water, because this city was built around seven lakes. 3,600 acres of water, more acres of water than people, amen? So in the summertime, it went to about 20, 25,000 people. So I had a small Well, I had a church two blocks away. So I'm 6 years old. That would make my sister 2 years old. And we were walking every Sunday to this church. Till one day, this nice dressed man in a fancy car asked me if he could take us home. Now I said, what do you want to drive me home for? I can see my house. It's that yellow one right there. The only one brave enough to be yellow. And he says, well, I just want to meet your parents and all that. I said, okay, whatever. So he takes us home. Now, the real reason that he wanted to take us home is so he could talk to my parents and tell my parents that we couldn't go there anymore. And we couldn't go there anymore because we weren't financially given to the cause and my parents weren't coming. I didn't know anything. I was six. I just knew I didn't have anywhere to play Sunday morning anymore. Amen? Kids, don't kid yourself. You still like to play too at church. So my aunt was going to a Pentecostal church in town. I usually don't say the denomination, but that slipped out. And so I went there. And so she invited us, and we went there. And we went there for 10 years, and we were part of the youth group and all this. And every Sunday morning, I'm now 16, and every Sunday morning, they would break into these prayer groups so that you could receive the Spirit. Amen? And there was these two seasoned ladies. I don't like to use the word old. It just seems bad. So anyway, there's these two seasoned ladies, and they would take us back and forth, and they would take us to ice cream and all this stuff, right? And they were always in my prayer group, and I didn't want to disappoint them. I was a teenager. Don't look at me like that, teenager. You don't like to displease people either. And so I didn't want to disappoint them, and so I just kind of followed along one day. They just kept just begging me, receive the Spirit today. Maybe today is the day. And so, man, I just uttered some garble. Man, it wasn't even words, amen? It sounded like it came out of a motorcycle, amen? And boy, they were jumping around. Man, they were running around in a circle. They were doing all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, that looks like fun. So I started doing it too, amen? The pastor was so happy. He goes, oh man, you're on your way to heaven. You got saved. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. So I go to my to my buddy that next day, that Monday, right? We went to public school. No tomatoes yet. Oh, praise the Lord. And so we went to public school and I told him, and I said, dude, you're never gonna understand. Guess what happened yesterday? He said, what happened yesterday? He goes, I guess I got saved. I guess I'm going to heaven too. And so he was 16 too, and he looked at me and he said, well, do you feel any different? No. Did anything change? I don't think so. He said, I don't know. But I think the Bible says something about being a new creature. I said, I don't know, man. He said, we've got a youth activity on Saturday. It's flag football. You know all the kids from public school? Yeah, they all went to the same school. And he goes, our youth pastor will be there. He goes, why don't you talk to our youth pastor, ask him some questions. Maybe you can figure out what's going on. Amen? So I went and I played flag football on that Saturday. And I went back to church on Sunday. They invited me back. Amen? I kept going for a little while. And the pastor was named as Ken Owens. I believe he's in heaven today. I can't wait to see him again. But anyway, he preached, and I don't remember what it was. But I do remember it was February 28th, 1992. Boy, he gave that invitation. I wasn't as spiritual as some of you folks. I was doing this. I was white-knuckling it, man. There wasn't any way that this prideful 16-year-old boy is going to stand before a bunch of people and do anything. Amen? It's getting awfully quiet. I must be hitting home a little bit. Said, there's no way. So after the service, that same morning, after the service, that afternoon, I asked the youth pastor, I said, we got to talk. So the youth pastor took me into a side room, and he opened up the Word of God, And you opened up those verses that I knew. Man, when I was 12 years old, I was at this Pentecostal church camp, stupidest thing I ever saw. I'll tell you about it some other time. But anyway, I'm at this church camp. This kid is asking me questions. I gave him the Romans Road. That kid may or may not have gotten saved, and I wasn't even saved yet. I was 12 years old. Just because you memorize Scripture don't mean you're saved, amen? He took me through those verses. All those verses. And he got to this one. It's Romans 10, 9, and 10. You been there? I bet you've been there a lot of times. If thou shalt confess with my mouth and believe in thy heart. See those two points there? I certainly didn't confess with my mouth. I just repeated something they told me to say. Just some garbage. And I certainly didn't believe in my heart. Man, those words touched me in a way that never had ever before. And I knelt down on that carpeted floor, praise God for carpet, and I received the Lord Jesus Christ that day. Amen. February 28th, 1992. And let me tell you, folks, when I got up, I felt that difference that he was talking about. I felt that burden was lifted from my shoulders that my buddy was talking about. Amen. So we got done with the youth pastor, and the youth pastor said, hey, he said, pastor lives in the parsonage next door. Let's go tell pastor what happened. I said, okay. So we get outside this little room. This little room was off the side of the sanctuary. So we get out of that room, go through the sanctuary, go out in the foyer, and guess who's sitting there? Pastor Owens is sitting there. I said, oh, pastor, I thought you'd already be home taking your nap, amen? He said, I knew something special was going to happen today. He said, why don't you tell me what happened? I said, pastor, I got saved. Amen. I got saved the right way, amen? Not this new junk they're teaching now. I got saved the right way, amen? He gave me a big hug. He's a big old trucker boy, amen? He gave me a big hug. That was weird. But it was good. I was different that day.
Amen.
If you don't know, if you've not had that experience, don't you leave today until you know for sure.
Amen.
The most important decision you can make in your life isn't where you're going to go to school,
yeah,
or what you're going to do with your life.
Yeah.
Or who you're going to marry. Or where you're going to live. The most important decision you can make in your life is where you're going to spend an eternity. Because even if you live to 100, the Bible says your life is but a vapor. For it appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. But eternity is forever. Eternity is a long time. I don't take anything for granted. I tell the boys, I ask the boys all the time, boys, are you born again? Because if anybody can fake, it's a church kid.
Yeah, that's right.
If anybody can fake, it's a preacher kid.
Yeah.
Right? Because they've been in church their whole lives.
Yeah.
And they know all the verses, and they know all this and that, and they know when to stand, amen, and they know when to sit, and they know when to grab their wallet, and they know when to go out and have a bathroom break because a preacher has started, and they know all those things to do, right? Amen? So if anybody can fake it, it's a preacher kid. It's a church kid.
That's right.
I don't take anything for granted. If you don't know for sure, don't leave until you do.
Amen.
The Bible there says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Here's the last thing I want to say about that, and I'll be done. I have a problem when somebody tells me they're saved and they can't tell me about it.
Yep.
Amen? Because the Bible says, let the redeemed say so. If you can't tell me, I'm not saying you have to know the exact date, although it's great if you do. But you should be able to say the experience. Amen?
Yeah.
You should be able to tell anybody that asks you the experience of when you got saved.
Amen.
Let me go a step farther. When's the last time you asked somebody for their testimony? of salvation. When's the last time you asked somebody, are you saved today? Are you saved? See, I thought Brother Vasquez was going to go a little bit, or Velasquez? Okay, I'll never get it right. But I thought that he was going to go a little bit different with that direction. Because I thought he was going to say that that man every morning said, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? When's the last time you asked somebody, do you know Jesus? There's a big difference between knowing God and knowing Jesus. The Bible says even the devil knows and fears, amen, trembles. There's a lot of people out there that say, oh yeah, I know God, I love God. But then you start asking them about their personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they look at you like you have three heads. Amen? Big difference. What's your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have one? Can you give it if somebody asked for it? It's pretty amazing. Somebody said they're baseball. Is that you? Cubs, right? Altar's right here. It's pretty amazing. Like I said, our minds are like brains, right? Sponges. We can soak up all this knowledge, right? My boys can recite all kinds of information about the Chicago Cubs. But sometimes they can't remember Romans 1:1. You feel me? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
What are we spending our time meditating on, folks? Are we spending our time meditating on things that are going to help us grow closer to God? Or do we spend our time meditating on things of the world? Amen? What do we spend our time meditating on? Because what you meditate on is what's going to come out here. Amen? You can go to the coffee shop. You can hear about the weather. You can hear about sports. You can hear about why my wife made me mad last night, right? You can hear all these different things. But you rarely hear Jesus. Why? Because we're not soaking it up. I challenge you. Soak up the Word of God. I don't care how long you've been saved. You will never know everything about the Word of God. You will never arrive as a Christian. If you think you are, you're puffed up. The altar's right here. You will never know all you can know about the Word of God. Because the more you know, the more God will reveal. Are you soaking it up? Do you love it? Will you protect it? I pray. If I die, I have the Word of God in my hands. And that funeral director has to pry the Word of God from my dead gold hands. Will you soak up the Word of God? Will you die for it? What you love is what you'll die for. We'll die for our spouse. We'll die for our children. We'll die for our grandchildren. Will you die for the Word of God? That shows how much you really love Him. Would you die for Him?